The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
We were preaching out of Luke chapter 5, and I just jumped ahead. We're preaching through the Gospel of Luke, our theme, those things most surely believed, out of chapter 1. And this week, our topic, of course, is we believe in a thankful heart. And I hope that you believe in a thankful heart. We have much to be thankful for. And I jumped ahead last week at Luke chapter 5. I preached to you about the leper and the healing of the leper. And in chapter 17, it's the healing of 10 lepers. And so I want to preach to you on this topic this morning and use this text to remind us of some things this Sunday before Thanksgiving. My favorite holiday. Of all the holidays, I love Thanksgiving. And it's just a great time to just enjoy friends and family. Of course, most of all, a great time to just enjoy and be thankful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Because no matter where you are in life, no matter what you have, no matter what you're going through, if you have Jesus, you've got everything you need. It's really true. So let's see some things this morning in Luke chapter 17. Follow us along as I read verses 11 through 19, and then we'll have a short word of prayer, and you can be seated. The Bible says, and it came to pass, in verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Lord, we ask again now your blessing upon the preaching of the word. Lord, speak to our hearts. Draw each of us closer to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd use the word that's been given to us here, the inspired word of God. And that, Holy Spirit, you'd move upon each and every heart that's here, each and every mind. Help us to think about these truths. And Lord, bring encouragement, bring conviction to our hearts. Help us to block out all the cares of this world, all the cares of life, and for these next several minutes, just to focus on Jesus. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. You notice on your handout this morning, I forget where I read this, but I wrote it down years ago. I read it somewhere. But someone said this. They said, Never let us neglect Thanksgiving. Or we may fear that another time our prayers will remain unanswered. They said, as the smiling flowers gratefully reflect in their lovely colors the various constituents of the solar ray, so should gratitude spring up in our hearts after the smiles of God's providence. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible instructs us, and we're reminded, and when we think about it, we should be a thankful people. God is good, and God is always good. And we should never forget that. We should be a thankful people. And in Luke chapter 17, we have a lesson here with regards to those, or I shouldn't say, those who really didn't seem to be as thankful as they ought to have been, and the one who was thankful. The one who was thankful. So a couple of things to contemplate with regards to why we ought to have a thankful heart. So you notice on your handout the first point, and it's really found in verse 12. Read again with me as I read through verse 12. So the Bible says, as he, that's Jesus, he entered into a village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And so as was mentioned last Sunday, and then if you weren't in the adult Sunday school class this morning, we looked into Luke chapter 5 and the whole idea of leprosy. The idea of them standing afar off was really something in which they were required to do. They were required to stand afar off, and they were required, when someone who was not afflicted with leprosy was coming down the street, they were required to call out, unclean, unclean, because of their leprosy. It's a very contagious disease. And so that's the picture that we have of these 10 men, apparently traveling together, I'm just assuming, in a group as they approach Jesus. And they're standing afar off, not only from Jesus, but they're standing afar off from everyone else. So as I read this and I'm thinking about Thanksgiving, one of the first thoughts that came to my mind is, I am thankful that the distance has been conquered. There's been a great distance that's been conquered. You understand that these men, they were to keep their distance from those that did not have leprosy, from those who were not sick. But there's another distance. There's another distance that I want us to think about this morning in point number one. And that's the distance that exists between man, an unholy and an ungodly and an unrighteous and sinful man, and a holy and a righteous and sinless God. It's a distance that you and I have a hard time fathoming, I think. But it's a reality. You know, nature teaches us about distance. The world in which we live teaches us about distance. It was 10 years ago that my wife and I were able to travel to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to a meeting there, a conference there. And what did I say? Pennsylvania? There is a Lancaster, Pennsylvania. No, Lancaster, that's better. Good thing you corrected me, because it's a lot farther to California than it is to Pennsylvania. So anyhow, we flew out to Lancaster, California, and on the last day of the conference, my wife had never seen the Pacific Ocean. So I said, I'll tell you what, afterwards we'll drive out. We weren't flying home until Saturday. We'll drive out and I'll show you the Pacific Ocean. It's a couple hours away from Lancaster, maybe not even a couple hours. So we did. And we drove out. We walked on the beach for not very long. And the point I'm telling you is this. The next day we got on a plane in Los Angeles and we landed in New York City. 100 years ago, if you told somebody that they could dip their toe in the Pacific Ocean on Friday and dip their toe in the Atlantic Ocean the following day, they wouldn't believe you. The distance was just too great. It would have taken probably 100 years ago the better part of close to maybe a week to make that trip by train. The distance was too great. And then if you're about my age or a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger, you can remember, I believe it was in 1969, I might have that year wrong, that Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. And all of the, not only all of America, but all of the world via television watched as he stepped off the lunar landing craft. And I should have looked it up. Let's see if I can remember. He said, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. The idea that someone could travel from, I told you I should have looked it up, did I get it wrong? One giant leap for mankind. He wasn't even alive then and he remembers. But if you had told somebody 50 years ago that somebody was going to stand on the moon, they would have told you, no way. The distance was just too great. It was just too great. Well, the distance between man and God after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden is just too great for man himself to conquer. It's too far. It's too far. Notice on your handout, Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. This is actually at a point where Peter, during the day of Pentecost, is preaching, and it was the account there where 3,000 were saved, actually over 3,000 were saved, as he preached to them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he said this, he said, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." He was referring to those that were afar off. Now, in all honesty, the primary application for the word afar off here is dealing with the Gentiles. The Jewish people were God's people. But when he refers to those here in the text, he's really referring to Gentiles. And that bridge, whether it was Jew or whether it was Gentile, that bridge would be conquered. It would be conquered the same way. It would be conquered through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But he's saying to them they were afar off, not geographically afar off, but spiritually, they were afar off. In Ephesians, he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." The spiritual distance, I'm so thankful that that distance that I nor you could conquer, no amount of religion could conquer that distance. No amount of good works could conquer that distance. No amount of repetitious prayer could conquer that distance. No amount of benevolence could conquer that distance. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could conquer that distance. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could take me that was afar off and he who is holy and righteous and bring me back together with him. And I'm so thankful, and you should be this morning, so thankful that one day you approached Jesus Christ, or he approached you, and you called upon him, and you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And despite your sin, and despite your indifference, and despite your iniquities, he hung on the cross and he died for you. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, I'm thankful that Jesus conquered the distance. But then I notice this in verse 13. So here you have these lepers that are afar off. And the Bible says in verse 13 and 14, "And they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourself unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed." And now here's the distinction. They've been cleansed. They've been cleansed. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior this morning, you've been spiritually cleansed of your sin. Now, notice the difference here if you weren't here last week. In Luke chapter 5, the leper was immediately cleansed. In Luke chapter 17, the Lord does it a little differently here. He says to them, "Now you go show the priest." And it was on their way as they turned to go to the priest that the Lord cleansed them of this terrible, terrible sickness. And again, I can't get into all of it because of time, but again, in the adult Sunday school class this morning, we went back to Leviticus chapter number 14, and we looked at the ritual that was there with regards to returning to the priest and the priest's responsibilities with regards to leprosy. But that was the word that was given. And I noticed this too with regards to these 10. They didn't ask to be cured. They just said, "Master, have mercy on us." Now, maybe the intention was because people had been cured of leprosy. All of a sudden, people are being cured of leprosy. Do you understand this too? Now, it may have happened, it may not have happened. But in 1,400 years, that's how long the priests have had the law. There is not one person recorded in the Bible that had ever gone to the priest who was cured of leprosy. Now, Miriam was cured of leprosy. But not did she have to go to the priest. Naaman was cured of leprosy, but Naaman wasn't a Jew. Now, perhaps there had been some, but there is not one other person, no one is recorded for 1,400 years of ever having to go to the priest and ever having to present himself to the priest. Now, all of a sudden, by the way, we looked at it in Luke chapter 5. This was a testimony to the priests. All of a sudden, there's all these people showing up who are cured of leprosy. All of a sudden, after 1,400 years, people are flocking now to the temple, and they're being cured of leprosy. I suppose the priests, maybe it didn't work this way, but they, hey, you know what? We need to go back to Leviticus 14 and think, what are we supposed to do here? Because, again, you read through it. It was quite a detailed event that took place. But these people, these 10 were healed. And we're reminded in the scriptures, if we walk in the light, they, by the way, they had to be obedient to God's word, or to the word of the Lord. That's what he said. He said this. They didn't say, well, you know, boy, back there in Luke chapter 5, you immediately healed somebody. How come we've got to go show ourselves to the priest? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. See, if the Lord is going to do a work in our life, it always has to be in our obedience to the Lord. His ways are not our ways, neither are our thoughts his thoughts. And let's not forget this, because we discussed it in Pastor Ethan's adult Sunday school class. These 10 men were not being healed for their benefit. These 10 men were being healed to bring glory to God. That's the difference between the whole healing movement today and true biblical healing. The biblical healing movement today is for the benefit of those that are healed. That's the mindset often. But in the Bible, when people were healed, it was to bring glory to God. It was to bring a testimony. When these people came, and whomever came to the priest, and the priest, something's going on. By the way, elsewhere in the scriptures is a different message for a different time, but the scriptures tell us that many of the priests came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We sometimes forget that. But there's a distinction, and I'm so glad for that distinction. Unto him, Revelation says, that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praise the Lord for that. But now the devotion. And this is part of our thanksgiving. Look at verses 15 and 16. And one of them out of the 10, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, and with a loud voice, he glorified God and fell down on his face and at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. It's interesting. So I'm assuming that the other 9 were Jews, but this man is not Jewish. He's a Samaritan. And as they begin to go to the priest, all of a sudden they realize, we're healed. It must have been a miraculous event. You know, if you've ever seen pictures of people with leprosy, their faces are all filled with boils and pockmarks, and it's in their arms. But now all of that is clear. I'm assuming they had a clear complexion, as if it just vanished. Because remember, they have to go to the priest. The priest has to examine their skin. And if there's any marks on their skin, then they're not clean. So they have to go with completely clear complexions. These people not only were cleansed, they looked different. But this man, he turns around and he goes back, and out of devotion to the one that healed him, glorified God. And look at verse 16. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Now, I should have paid better attention when I was in English, to be quite honest, but I did some reading with regards to the grammar and the context of all of this. And the word his in verse 16, grammatically speaking, is referring to the word God in verse number 15. In other words, this Samaritan, he realized when he fell down at Jesus' feet that Jesus was more than just a great miracle worker, that Jesus was more than just a great teacher, that Jesus was God. And he was devoted. I just looked up a few verses in the Psalms. There are many more, and actually throughout the whole Scriptures. Look at Psalms 30 and verse 4 on your handout. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. And in fact, read these out loud with me, won't you? Psalm 30 and verse 4, let's begin. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Let me just stop there for a minute. Give thanks at the remember of His holiness. That little phrase there, give thanks, by the way, it also, in the Hebrew language, it means to give Him a memorial. Tonight we're having the Lord's Supper, communion. We're returning here tonight, just as the leper turned to give thanks unto God. We're returning here tonight to give thanks unto God for the fact that the distance was conquered, and the distinction now is that we were unclean, but now because of the blood of Christ, we are clean. Wow. That's why we have the Lord's Supper. Read verse 30 and verse 12 of the Psalms out loud, good and loud with me. Let's begin. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Psalm 35:18. I will give Thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise Thee among much people. And Psalm 147:7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. So I said yesterday, maybe it was the day before, I guess it was yesterday to Pastor Ethan, I said, hey, when we come on Sunday night, let's have a praise service. Let's just sing to the Lord. Let's have people, if they'd like, to give a thanksgiving testimony. And that's what we'll do tonight. But now look at verses 17 and 18. Here's the distracted. Jesus answering said, well, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save His stranger. Well, where are the other 9? Well, they were distracted. Let's be careful that we don't become distracted. Just too busy, too self-absorbed, too complacent, spiritually disinterested. Let's hope and pray that Jesus never asks that about you and me. That we display an unthankful heart. Because we're reminded this morning that none of us deserve to be saved. None of us. We all deserve to spend an eternity in a place called hell. We all deserve to be separated from God. But because of His mercy, but because of His grace, He saved us. He did for you and He did for me that we could what we could never do. But today I'm afraid, you know, I don't know for sure, but we look at these 9 that are distracted and they never gave, for all we know, they never gave thanks to Jesus. They were glad, I'm sure, that they were healed. They never took the time to thank the one that healed them. And so much of what we do as believers is just taking the time to thank the Lord for what He's done for us. Someone wrote this years ago, too. It's not on your handout, but I wrote it on mine. It's in some of my notes elsewhere. But they said this, in 1623, that's of course the year we had our first Thanksgiving, in 1623, the people had nothing but gratitude. In 2017, the people have everything but gratitude. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come, the Bible says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. It's one thing, ladies and gentlemen, for the ungodly to be so. It's quite another for the redeemed to be so. I was glad that those three basketball players who were arrested in China for shoplifting. Did you see that on the news? I was glad, number one, that they came out, and one of them at least I saw on the news that he was so ashamed of what he deserves to be ashamed of what he did. But I was glad that the president intervened and they publicly thanked the president for intervening on their release. They all could have been sentenced to 10 years in prison for what they did. I'm sure this Thanksgiving, those three basketball players are going to have a thankful heart. And those families of those basketball players are going to have a thankful heart. Let's not be so distracted. Let me just give you some quick basics with regards to the expression of an unthankful heart. When we neglect our time in the Word of God, I think we display a distracted heart, not only because our salvation should be precious, but the book that we hold in our hand is a precious book. Someone earlier gave me a film that was done by the Billy Graham Crusade on the life of Tyndale. I believe Tyndale was burned at the stake for printing the Bible. It's a precious book. Let's be careful of our prayer life, and the lack of it is not an expression. You know, when we return to the Bible, we're like the one who returns to Jesus saying thank you. When we don't, we're like the nine who just travel on our merry way. When we return to our prayer closet, we're like the one who returns and says thank you, Jesus. But when we're like the nine, we just kind of travel on our merry way. Let's be careful of that. Let's be careful too, because the Bible talks about an unforgiving spirit. That's an unthankful spirit. Let's be careful with regards to having a disagreeable nature. That's an unthankful spirit. Let's be careful of our pride and our arrogance, our resentfulness, our anger, and our bitterness. That's not the manifestation of a thankful heart. These things distract us, just like the nine. But then lastly, as we look at the text, verse 18, Jesus says, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I'm thankful that I can live, not only have I placed my faith in Jesus Christ, but I'm thankful that now the Lord allows me to live a life of faith. Faith, a saving faith and a living faith. A faith that's built upon what Jesus did for me on the cross 2,000 years ago. Now, I can't be dogmatically sure about this in verse 19, but I have to wonder. When he turned to the Samaritan and he said to the Samaritan, thy faith hath made thee whole. He already was whole physically. But I'm just wondering if at that time and at that moment, that's when that Samaritan became whole spiritually. Thy faith hath made thee whole. It doesn't say anything in the text about the other nine having faith per se. It does say the other nine were obedient. There's nothing, for instance, in the Old Testament when Naaman was healed that he was necessarily a man of faith. In fact, he was very reluctant to walk down into the Jordan River and to be healed. He was obedient. But I will say this, the deliverance that has been provided by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I not only have a faith that I can trust in, that I know that when this heart stops beating, that I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Thanksgiving can be a difficult time, any holiday, especially with family members who have gone before us. But I'm thankful that one day I'll step across the great divide and I have a father who is a man of faith. I had grandparents who were people of faith. I could name people in this church who are people of faith. I'm just reminded, this pulpit right here, this pulpit was purchased after a dear French-Canadian saint of God, Rita, passed away into heaven. And as a memorial, donations that her family and friends wanted to give a gift, and they gave a gift toward the ministry here. And so we purchased this pulpit because she loved the preaching of God's Word. And then we even thought, I remember at the time, we were going to put a little placard on it in memory of and dedication. And then the Lord spoke to my heart, the last thing Rita would have wanted was something like that. So we never did that. That doesn't mean I can't mention her, amen? And many others, people of faith. And one day there'll be a great reunion. Like I said, I love Thanksgiving, and now as my family is kind of spread out, they're all going to be home for Christmas. I think they're all going to be home. I'm still working on my son, Josh. I think we got him close. It's only $99 to fly from Fort Lauderdale to Hartford. It's unbelievable. We're hoping they're all there. The only thing I'm going to not like is all the noise in the house. I'm kind of getting used to the quietness. But I think they're all going to be there. But more importantly, I want to spend eternity with them all in heaven. And I'm thankful that because of what Jesus did, that's going to happen. I'm thankful. In fact, one of the first funerals I ever preached, it sounds like kind of a downer, was out of this text, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." There's a young man in this church who perished in a car crash. And I read that verse when I heard that he had perished, and I said, "Lord, how does this verse apply to this young man?" And then I realized that that young man had received Christ as his Savior. And while certainly no one was thankful for the car crash, me as the pastor and his family could rest in the fact that one day they would spend eternity together. Oh, we have a lot to be thankful for. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.